Hello, this is Todd Durakon with the Decatur Herald and Review for Tuesday, April 15th, 2025. Tax Day, coming to you from my home studio. We start on the front page, Girl Scouts in Central Illinois, Decatur Scout goes for gold. College freshman honored for her mural and little libraries. This article's by Donette Beckett, Decatur. Once a Girl Scout, always a Girl Scout. Claire Tozer, a former scout from Decatur Troop 3274, recently earned the Girl Scout Gold Award, the highest honor in Girl Scouts, for her mural in a local preschool and two little free libraries she made and supplied. Now in college at the Western Illinois University, Tozer credits the Scouts for her current success. "It's an amazing experience," the college freshman said. "It gave me so many tools and so many friends that honestly helped me throughout middle, high school, and even through some of college." Tozer is one of six Scouts to earn the 2025 Gold Award from Girl Scouts in Central Illinois. Together, these young women have devoted over 500 hours of service to causes they are passionate about, proving they are committed to making their communities and the world a better place. Katrina Stoibinger, marketing manager for Girl Scouts of Central Illinois, said in a news release. According to Stoibinger, to earn the award, high school-aged girls demonstrate their leadership and create a significant and sustainable positive change in a community. Gold Award Girl Scouts address the root cause of a problem, plan and implement innovative solutions to drive lasting change and lead a team of people to success, she said. All while learning essential skills that prepare them for all aspects of life. Tozer said she learned she could become an effective leader when it is necessary. "I am usually too nervous to step up and take the reins on any project, but I learned that as long as I can muster up the courage to do it, leading is almost natural to me," she said. Tozer's mural took approximately 2 years to complete, from the planning stages to the finished result. "I finished it right before I went off to college," Tozer said. Images on the mural include pairs of animals walking to Noah's Ark. The name of each animal is painted near the pair. "They can learn to associate words with pictures," Tozer said. Tozer became a Girl Scout in third grade. "I'm still friends with the majority of the girls I grew up with in Scouts," she said. She participated in a similar community project as a Girl Scout in middle school. "We did a stuffed toy drive for dogs and donated them to shelters," Tozer said. The award, or the project, earned the Scout a Bronze Award. Director Jamie Stanzioni and the rest of the St. Paul's Early Learning Center staff enjoy the colorful mural almost as much as the children. It's right at the kids' level," she said. "The kids talk about them all the time." The mural is another opportunity to learn colors, letters, and animals. "You can tell them to line up next to the pink flamingo or the tall giraffe," Stanzioni said. "It's a great learning experience." Tozer's second project, the Little Free Libraries, were built by the Scout and a group of volunteers. The wooden boxes hold donated books that are free for children to take home. The idea for both projects came from her love of reading and art. "A big part of my project was being able to give children access to books they didn't need to pay for, and being able to learn how to read in a fun kind of way," Tozer said. "I can't imagine any kids not having those resources." The little libraries are located at the St. Paul's Early Learning Center and the Unity Christian School. The schools have instructions on the importance of how to fill the little libraries. The little libraries are filled with donated books as well as books Tozer received through a book drive she hosted at her school. Tozer learned early in the process that mural was going to be popular among the kids while she was painting. Tozer would be approached by the smiling children. Their faces would just light up, she said. All I would be doing is just writing on the walls. Creating both the mural and the libraries helped develop leadership, the college student pointed out. She had several people help with the projects, including those with carpentry skills and others who could paint the large animals. The Gold Award has motivated Tozer to continue what she has learned from her scouting experience. It empowered me to do something, whether it's about a problem or an issue, that I really took to heart, she said. Several large color photos here. The first one shows Claire Tozer opening the little free library she built and installed for the St. Paul's Early Learning Center in Decatur. On Friday, April 11th, Tozer earned the Girl Scout Award for her work with the library and an educational mural at the preschool. And it's shown opening, and there are two shelves, one in the bottom, one in the middle, full of books. And she's shown in the intersection of a hallway. Joseph Ressler photos, Herald and Review. Another photo of Tozer posing in front of her murals. It's two bears, two giraffes, nearly out of focus, then mostly out of focus, but still visible because of the pink, two flamingos. And a large color photo here of Tozer walking in front of the giraffes, flamingos, and elephant. And then finally, the mural of the close-up of the zebra, and then a tree as well. We move on to the local and state page, A2. From the State House, Pritzker ties budget DC chaos. Articles by Rich Miller. Governor J.B. Pritzker said last week that the extreme uncertainty with the U.S. government and the international economy might mean that the legislature may have to reconvene to reconfigure the state budget after it adjourns at the end of next month. It may very well be that we're going to have to come back at some point, depending on what the president does, Pritzker said during an unrelated press conference. Later, a spokesperson said that Pritzker meant that he and his administration don't know what President Donald Trump is going to do in the near future and what the impact is going to be yet, so we have to be ready for everything. The spokesperson said there were no concrete plans as of now to return this summer, fall, or winter that I'm aware of. Another top Pritzker official played down the governor's remarks. But there's little doubt that the state could be in for a very rough fiscal road. President Donald Trump is unilaterally slashing federal agency budgets along with funding for state and local governments while imposing unprecedented import taxes, which have combined to worry state budget makers throughout the country and have tanked international financial markets, leading some top banks to predict a coming recession or worse. In the past, sudden economic plunges have forced the General Assembly into special sessions. When asked if he was still confident in his administration's revenue and spending projections for the coming fiscal year, Pritzker said, "It's hard to tell from one day to another." Pritzker's revenue projections have been criticized for being $737 million higher than predicted by the legislature's Bipartisan Commission on Government Forecasting and Accountability. "You've seen what Doge proposed, what Elon Musk proposed," Pritzker said. "We don't know if there's going to be Medicaid cuts, which would have a severe impact on the people of the state and on our budget," the governor said of the current D.C. scene. "I think those who are responsible and want to pass a balanced state budget is that we're going to have to live this, you know, circumstance of the uncertainties of the federal government every day and watch how it turns out, and we're probably going to be living that even through the course of the fiscal year ahead." I also asked if the upcoming state budget plan might include more spending latitude via lump sum appropriations to give the administration more flexibility in the next fiscal year's spending plan. This approach has been taken in previous years to give governors the ability to handle extreme fiscal uncertainty. "No more latitude than in the past," Pritzker said. "I think at the moment, we're still working that out, of course, but I think the reality is that this is no doubt one of the most challenging budget years, and it's not because of a lack of revenue. That's not something we're seeing yet, but It is the reality that we just don't know, Pritzker said, pointing to the chaos that's coming from Washington, D.C., and from this administration in particular. And that was in quotes, from chaos to particular. My associate, Isabel Miller, also asked the governor a question. You said in your budget address that if people want money for new programs, they'd have to give you a list of cuts they'd like to see. Has anyone brought you a list of cuts? People aren't showing up at my door with proposed cuts, the governor said in response after a bit of hesitation, because he didn't apparently expect that question. But then again, I think they understand that any increases that they're going to propose, whatever it is that I'm going to be signing, we're going to have to make this budget balance. Asked why he thought people weren't laying out cuts to balance their proposed spending increases, Pritzker said, I think there are many members of the legislature who don't want to have to cut any programs and only want to have to add or have the ability to add. And I understand the desire to do that, but the reality is what it is. We have to balance the budget in the state. You know, revenues appear to be as we were expecting they would be, and so we're going to have to, you know, make it all work one way or another, and that means balancing expenditures with the revenues. Later in the week, Pritzker pointed to his remarks when asked about easing the state's estate tax. Proponents, he said, need to show how they can pay for it. Police, kid found in bed with guns, Tony Reid, Decatur. An accused Decatur drug dealer is facing charges of child endangerment after police executing a search warrant found his 3-year-old son lying on a bed stuffed with 2 handguns in a house full of weapons. Police said the bed firearms, both loaded pistols, were wedged between the mattress and the box spring, and the child's father, Antonio S. Hobson Jr., was also sitting on the bed as officers came in. And there was another loaded handgun in the bedside table, said Decatur Police Department Detective Clayton Zills, testifying at the preliminary hearing in Macon County Circuit Court on Wednesday. A sworn affidavit signed by Zills said those guns turned out to be part of a haul of 13 weapons seized from Hobson's house on Point Bluff Drive when officers executed the search warrant at 6 a.m. March 11th. They also seized 24 grams of cannabis along with plastic baggies containing the drug. Officers also found more than $600 in cash and $20 bills and a digital scale. And from another address associated with Hobson in the 1700 block of North Woodford Street, Zills said a separate search warrant turned up 2.5 pounds of cannabis. Hobson pleaded not guilty to causing circumstances that would endanger a child and allowing a minor access to a firearm. He also denied being an illegal dealer of cannabis. Defending Hobson at the preliminary hearing, attorney Michael Gerard did not mention the Woodford Street raid, but concentrated his questions on what happened at Point Bluff Drive. He got Zills to confirm that Hobson had both a valid FOID card and a concealed carry license, so it's fair to say that he could legally have a firearm in his home. Isn't that correct? Gerard asked. Zills said it was, but when the attorney suggested that no child had been found within the vicinity of any of the guns, the detective told them about the guns in the bed and the bedside drawer. And in response to more questions, Zills said the smaller amount of cannabis found at the Point Bluff home might be for personal use, as Hobson insisted it was. But Zills also said the digital scales, the plastic baggies, and the stack of cash and $20 bills would be consistent with illegal street-level drug sales to me. In the sworn affidavit, Hobson is quoted as admitting he does occasionally sell cannabis to earn some cash because he is unemployed. But after claiming the 24 grams was just for his own use, he denied ownership of the 2.5 pounds found at the Woodford Street home. Judge Lindsay Shelton found probable cause to try Hobson on all charges and free on pretrial release. He is due back in court for a pretrial hearing on May 22nd. Move on to nation and world. Illinois politics. Pritzker criticizes Trump's tariffs. Governor calls them a tax on working families. This article is by Dan Petrella, Chicago Tribune. Governor J.B. Pritzker used his first ever appearance on Fox News to take his criticisms of President Donald Trump's sweeping tariffs to the nation's network or the network's conservative-leaning audience, labeling the Republican administration's levies on imports taxes on working families. Pritzker, who has made frequent national media appearances since Trump retook the White House this year, is widely viewed as a potential contender for the 2028 Democratic presidential nomination. As Fox News Sunday host Shannon Bream noted in the morning show interview, the billionaire governor has taken a more aggressive approach to criticizing the president than other Democratic governors who are also frequently mentioned in those conversations, including Michigan's Gretchen Whitmer and California's Gavin Newsom. Illinois' two-term Democratic governor wasn't asked directly about his presidential aspirations, and he sidestepped a question about a Fox News poll that showed majority support for GOP positions on issues such as bans on transgender athletes, deportation of immigrants in the U.S. without legal permission, and increased domestic oil production. Instead, the American people want affordability to go up, Pritzker said. When asked whether Democrats are out of step with voters, they want their costs to go down, and when they go to the grocery store, that's what they want. That's the opposite of what this administration does. This administration says they're working for families and then attacks working families with the biggest tax increase in U.S. history with these tariffs. Pritzker's roughly 10-minute interview followed a week when Trump's on-again, off-again tariffs roiled stock markets and left American investors, businesses, and the nation's trading partners perplexed about what the president is attempting to achieve. The governor's Fox interview was immediately preceded on the TV program, which airs on Fox affiliates across the country, by a segment about support for tariffs in the shrimping industry in the South. Pritzker said the potential for tariffs to help certain industries that face competitive disadvantages is an argument for targeted tariffs, but that's not what President Trump has done, the governor said. He's put massive tariffs across the board, and that's going to affect not only the cost for the average working families going to the grocery store, but it's also going to affect the sales of crops that we grow in the state of Illinois and across the United States. Pushing the U.S. toward potential trade wars with some of its largest export markets is going to make it harder for highly productive Illinois farmers to sell their corn, soybeans, pork, and beef, Pritzker said. We've got to focus on targeted tariffs, he said. Good trade policy, I might add, is really about protecting U.S. workers, making sure that we're expanding markets overseas and focusing on lowering costs for American families. Now, none of what President Trump has done really does that. Pritzker also pushed back on the arguments that Trump's use of tariffs is causing U.S. companies to consider building up domestic production or retain jobs that might otherwise have gone overseas. Some of those decisions already were being made as a result of President Joe Biden's Inflation Reduction Act, while any possible significant increases in U.S. manufacturing and jobs as a result of steep tariffs would take years to materialize. And we're going to lose a lot of jobs and have a big recession in between, Pritzker said. Earlier in the program, Agriculture Secretary Brooke Rollins said Trump is working to fix imbalances in what have hurt American producers. For decades, the way we have been treated in this country, and especially our farmers and ranchers, is absolutely stunning, Rollins said. We've been living under a tariff regime, but it has been the regime of other countries. It's kind of a neat article. New Lego factory opens in Vietnam. This article's by Aniruddha Gosal, Associated Press, Binh Duong, Vietnam. Lego opened a $1 billion factory in Vietnam that it says will make toys without adding planet-warming gas to the atmosphere by relying entirely on clean energy. The factory opened Wednesday in the industrial area of Binh Duong, close to Ho Chi Minh City. It's the first in Vietnam that aims to run entirely on clean energy, which Lego says it will do by early 2026. It's the Danish company's sixth worldwide and its second in Asia. It will use high-tech equipment to produce colorful Lego bricks for Southeast Asia's growing markets. We just want to make sure that the planet that the children inherit when they grow up needs to be a planet that is still there. That is functional, Lego CEO Niels Christensen told the Associated Press. The factory is an important factor in LEGO's quest to stop adding greenhouse gases by 2025. It has a shorter-term target of reducing emissions by 37% by 2032. The privately held group makes its bricks out of oil-based plastic and says it invested more than $1.2 billion in a search for more sustainable alternatives. Those efforts have not always been successful. Fast industrialization in Vietnam also aims to achieve net zero emissions by 2050, so it needs more of its factories to use clean energy. The country hopes the plant's 12,400 solar panels and energy storage system will help set a precedent for more sustainable manufacturing. Locating the LEGO factory in regions they supply also helped insulate them from tariffs ordered by U.S. President Donald Trump, Christensen said. The blocks are made from differently colored plastic, grains melted at high temperatures and then fed into metal molds. The highly automated factory uses robots for making the bricks to a tenth of a hair's width precision and then packaging them. It eventually will employ thousands of mostly skilled workers to operate those machines. Some of them already began work after training in LEGO's factory in eastern China. Manufacturing makes up a fifth of Vietnam's GDP and consumes half the energy it uses. There are plans to phase out coal power plants by 2040. The LEGO factory, which spans 62 soccer fields, sets the blueprint for making large power-guzzling factories sustainable while remaining profitable, said Mimi Vu, a founder of the Raise Partners consultancy in Ho Chi Minh City. Sometimes it takes a big company like LEGO to take those risks to show that we can do it, and we can be profitable, she said. The factory will benefit from a new 2024 rule known as Direct Power Purchase Agreement, or DPPA, which allows big foreign companies to buy clean energy directly from solar and wind power producers and to meet their clean energy requirements. The factory will be linked to an adjacent energy center where electricity can be stored in large batteries. So even if the sun is only shining during the day, we store the energy and can use it all over. That will cover by far the majority of the consumption of the factory, Christensen said. The remaining 10% to 20% of the factory's energy needs will be met through agreements with other clean energy producers. LEGO in Vietnam, we are having the same aspirations. We both want to be green to play our part in the climate. And I think this, with the solar and the battery and the DPPA, it is showcasing that it can be done, said Jesper Hasseland Mikkelsen, Senior Vice President of Asia Operations at the LEGO Group. The company also will open a distribution center in Vietnam's southern Dong Nai province to help serve markets in Australia and other Asian countries where it sees an opportunity for growth. The five buildings in the factory meet high energy efficiency standards. LEGO planted 50,000 trees, twice the number of the trees it cut to clear land for the factory. It also is the company's first factory to replace single-use plastic bags with paper bags for packaging. LEGO's founder, Ole Kirk Christensen, started the company as a wooden toy maker before patenting the iconic plastic bricks in 1958. It still seeks a way to make its plastic bricks more environmentally friendly. Christensen said LEGO bricks last decades and could be reused, though the ultimate ambition is to make them out of more renewable materials. He said a third of the materials used in LEGO bricks made last year were from renewable and recycled sources. However, that's more expensive than plastic made out of fossil fuels. It's not inexpensive at this point in time, but we believe if we lean into that, we can help create a supply chain for the type of plastic materials that are not based on fossil fuel, he said. And there is a medium-sized photo here. A worker operates packing machines April 2nd at LEGO factory in Binh Duong, Vietnam. And it's just a conveyor belt going from low to high. So at the bottom of the photo, up to the top of the photo, and standing in between the two conveyors, then they're probably 10 to 12 inches tall by about 8 to 10 inches wide, and 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 of the conveyors, each shown at the machine on the left and the right, and just going up and dumping into what looks like a packaging. We can't really see it here. Packaging operation. No photo credit given. And on B8, distillery cleans up post-flood. Bruce Schreiner, Associated Press, Frankfort, Kentucky. Signs of renewal are underway at the Buffalo Trace Distillery in Kentucky since floodwaters that inundated the whiskey-making campus receded. Still, executives say the painstaking task of inspecting any bourbon barrels touched by the high water will take time. The historic distillery resumed shipping spirits and hopes to reopen its bottling operation in coming days, Jake Wentz, CEO and president of the Sazerac Company and Distillery, said Friday. The campus could reopen to visitors soon on a limited basis. Restoration of this national historic landmark is our top priority to ensure a quick return to making quality award-winning whiskey and welcoming guests from around the world, Wentz said in a release. The Frankfort, Kentucky-based distillery, which produces some of the world's most sought-after bourbon brands, was inundated by floodwaters from the nearby Kentucky River after days of downpours overfilled rivers to near record levels across parts of the Bluegrass State. Now that the murky floodwaters are gone, the cleanup at Buffalo Trace is progressing. Teams of engineers and restoration experts are assessing damage in the buildings that were flooded. The overall amount of damage still is being determined, the distillery said. Those damage assessments include some of the barrels filled with aging whiskey. Bourbon gets its flavor and golden brown color during aging. Workers were able to move some barrels of bourbon to upper floors of storage warehouses before the flooding. Inspections of any barrels touched by the flood began Thursday and will continue until each is carefully assessed, a process that could take several weeks to complete, the distillery said. It hasn't said how many barrels were affected, but said it doesn't expect any meaningful loss of inventory. This is a very involved process, including both barrel inspections as well as a rigorous quality testing program that we do with all of our products, said Harlan Wheatley, master distiller at Buffalo Trace. And in the photo, kayakers paddle April 7th in floodwaters at the Buffalo Trace Distillery in Frankfort, Kentucky. John Sherry, Associated Press, but yes, they're right next to the distilleries, taken from above, maybe from a drone or a helicopter, seeing most of the roof of the distillery, and it is, and there's floodwaters everywhere, and the kayakers are clearly seen, two of them paddling. Well, that brings us to the end of the first half hour of the Decatur Herald and Review for Tuesday, April 15th, 2025. We will take a short break and return with the second half hour.